Amen. We are moving. Our Essential 7 course is now over. We've done our 7 weeks. If you didn't get to do that, we're hoping to do another one in September time, do another Essential 7. We'll try to do a different night. So if it was Tuesday this time, we'll try to hit a different night the next time. So if Tuesday was bad for you, maybe a Thursday or some other alternative night will be good for you. If you'd like to, the audio is online, so you can enjoy it and you can listen to it. There are the slides of it as well, so they're online as well, and so you can look those up and enjoy them. I mean, some of the material that Lee and Andrew put together was just absolutely amazing, so I encourage you to check that out. We're praying also this morning. We have so many different things to pray for, but remember Andrew, because he's away in Mozambique at the minute. That's why he's not here. He is busy working, so we're believing for that. And I forgot to even mention that Shane had put a couple of things through, and he just said his mum has started to walk again from her leg break earlier on around December time. So we're thankful and we're praising God for all that he is doing. Amen. So this morning, I want to encourage us that God is the God of the breakthrough. That's really what I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us that God can break through at any moment, at any time, in any season, that we may have a rhythm and we may have a logical kind of plan or purpose or the way things work out. You know, we're talking about the doctors are baffled, and we love doctors, and without medicine, we'd be far poorer for it. But there are systems and there are processes in place, and it seems to be that when you get to a certain place in the system or when you get to a certain place in the process, that there's just no point. There's just no point anymore. Doctors will say, turn it off. They'll say, there's no point hoping anymore. If it's a certain situation like finance, well, your house is going to go. There's just no hope anymore. You're past the point of no return. But I've got good news this morning. Our God is able to break through at any moment. At any moment. He is not restricted by anything that we face. He is not restricted. He has no restrictions because he is literally limitless. Our God is the God of the breakthrough. We are people who follow a God where nothing is impossible. I think it's important to know this. I think it's important to take stock. It's important to remember all the times that God has encouraged us in the past and to take them into the present and allow them to propel us into the future. Because God has won in the past. He has brought victory in the past. He has brought us through difficult times in the past. You know, the thing about breakthrough is this, is that we go through a difficult season and we think we're never going to get through it. We're never going to get through it. And then just in one moment, everything can change. And then how quickly we forget a week later, you're like, wow, I never thought that would be over, and now it's totally over. I mean, it's totally over. It's a bit like that. We were chatting a few times about final year and stuff like that. I used to have nightmares about final year, thinking, am I ever going to get through university final year? It's just a nightmare. I don't want to do the work. I just want to have fun, but I've got to do it. And I used to have recurring dreams of, I've forgotten one assignment. I've forgotten one thing. And at the end of it, they're going to go, hey, you did pretty well, but you've lost everything because you forgot about one thing. That's what happens when the pressure starts to build and you're going through a difficult season or you're going through a difficult time. You just feel like there's just no way out. And yet God can come in just a quiet moment. He can come in a loud moment. He can come in between. And then suddenly everything can change. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe this will be an active word for you where you're going through a difficult season. You're going through a difficult time. And this will be a word that just speaks, hopefully, life just straight into the situation. It might be a word that you'll store up. And there'll come a day or there'll come days when you just need this breakthrough word. You just need to know that God really is the God of the breakthrough. Or maybe you'll receive the word for somebody else. I love that. Maybe you'll carry the word and you'll take the word from this morning and you'll say, Mom, or you'll say, Dad, or you'll go to a cousin or you'll go to a friend and you'll say, wow, our God is the God of the breakthrough. Can I just share with you? Can I encourage you? That is what Christian life is all about, to encourage each other, to build each other up. I want to show it to you this morning. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20, if Derek wants to pop it up, there we go. It says, David went to Baal-perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it, David exclaimed. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named the place Baal-perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. Our God literally bursts through. This is why he is the God of the breakthrough. He literally just bursts through. And so if you think of a dam this morning and all the water's just building up and building up and building up, when the pressure eventually increases to a point where the dam cannot hold it anymore, he just bursts through. And this is what I love about breakthrough, is that he doesn't just crack what's going on. He doesn't just prevent what's going on. He actually bursts right through. And so if it was a dam and it was water and the dam is the problem and that's all the stresses, he doesn't just remove the dam. He bursts right through with his water. He bursts right through with his love, with his grace, with his mercy. In other words, he totally transforms the situation because he is the God of the breakthrough. I mean, God is not just saving us to leave us. God is just not saving us to say, right, fend for yourself, get on for yourself. He says, no, you're young in the faith. I need to encourage you. I need to build you up. Hopefully you'll do that in church. Hopefully you'll do that with brothers and sisters. You might start off with milk. You might start off with soft foods, but hopefully you'll get to solids. Hopefully you'll move on, and then you'll be a person who encourages. You'll be a person that brings breakthrough. You'll be a person that brings hope and mercy. See, when God comes and he brings breakthrough, he does an amazing job. He does a perfect job. He just sweeps right through. And so this morning, if we need breakthrough in any area, we need to know this. God is bursting through. He is able to burst through. He is the God of the breakthrough. And so we were thinking about our prayer times, which is what we're going to start this evening. And if you're free, that's amazing. If you're not, we're praying for you. But we're going to pray this evening at 6:30. And we're trying to think of a name, and then just, I don't know if it was random or if it was just spur of the moment. And then we thought, breakthrough. What about breakthrough? Would that be a good name? And so we dwelt on it, we prayed about it, we thought about it, and we just like, wow, that feels great. Because that is who our God is. He is the God of the breakthrough. And so tonight when we come to pray at 6:30, if you've got a prayer need, you can let us know. If you're not able to come as well, also. But we're going to come to prayer, and we're going to come to believe. We're going to come to believe and say, if there's a mountain in our lives, we will speak to it in faith, and in Jesus' name, it will be removed. We will speak to cancer, and we will believe that it will go, because it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. We will pray for people to believe for healing, and we will believe without a shadow of a doubt that they will be healed, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. I'm not looking to have lots and lots of faith. I just want to have faith as small as a mustard seed, and I know that I'll move every mountain. That's what God's calling us to. He's saying, I am for you, and if I am for you, who can be against you? If I am with you, all things are possible. He means that. So no matter what we're praying about, no matter what we're facing, no matter what our friends are facing or our family are facing, we can pray and believe this morning, because our God is the God of the breakthrough. And so if you're free and available tonight, 6:30, we're going to pray. And what we thought was, we'll pray the first Sunday in the month in the evening times will be First Love, and then the third Sunday in the evening times will be this breakthrough prayer. And we're just going to simply come and pray. And I'm going to believe there's going to be dynamic prayer. I don't think we're going to sit there the whole time and just wait all the time. And maybe there'll be long silences. If that's the case, we'll trust that's the presence of God. But we want to come and be dynamic. We want to come and pray. We want to come and believe. We want to come and stir each other up. So there might be times when we're quiet, but there might also be times when we're light. There may be times when we start to walk in faith. Because sometimes you just need to get up and about and just start to walk. Sometimes we may even go out and walk the town and we'll do prayer walks. Because we believe that every step that we take, we're claiming it as holy ground in the name of the Lord. See, we want to become dynamic in our prayer. We want to move in our prayers. When the children of Israel, they came to the walls of Jericho, they actually walked around them. They just didn't sit and pray. They walked around them, and then they got light at the end, and they shouted, and the walls came down, the God of the breakthrough. He just comes through again and again and again. And so this morning, I want us to look at a few different occasions in Luke chapter 7. And we're going to see in just different occurrences, different instances, that there really are no limits to God. No matter what we face, no matter what we're challenged with, he's able. He is able. So this morning, let's look at it in Luke 7. We're going to look at the beginning of Luke 7 in verse 2. And then we're going to look at three different stories out of Luke 7, which I hope and believe they're going to encourage us. The first story that you'll read, for the sake of time, we're going to just have to paraphrase it, and we'll just pick out a couple of verses. But there was a centurion and a servant, and the centurion back in those days, it just automatically meant Roman. And when you think of Roman, you just think automatically against God, against Jesus, against all the things of God, just not interested, just atheists, just want to serve themselves. They have all these false gods, false idols. It's all about power and wiping people out. It's not about love and encouragement and passion and compassion. And so here we go in verse 2. It says, there's a centurion servant whom his master valued very highly, was sick and about to die. Jesus comes in this situation where there's a centurion, a guy who's against him, who's flat out against him, who he knows will be the ones who put him on the cross, who he knows what they're for. They're not for him. They're absolutely against him. And he comes to him and he says, my servant, he's highly favored with me. I love him. I think he's a great servant. He really means a lot to me, but he's sick and he's about to die. Master, is there anything that you could do? Jesus, is there anything that you can do? And I just love this, because here's a person who's not even a Christian, who's not even saved, who doesn't even worship Jesus, but he knows he's able to come. He knows that Jesus is greater, and he brings him before him, and he says, Jesus, what could you do? What could you do for him? What could you do for my servant? He puts his trust and he puts his faith into him. The things against him was he was a Roman. He's a non-follower. He's a servant. You know, this guy's a servant. You know, the important thing about a servant, whether it be in a context of today, we're talking about servants in the church, well, you are irreplaceable. But back then, in those days, you were replaceable. If you were a servant in those days, so what? We'll just get another one. So what? We'll buy another one. Maybe we'll get an even better one. Maybe we'll get an even braver one, a stronger one, a better one. We'll just get another one. He was replaceable. But for this Roman, this was a guy who he loved. He was highly favored. He was a servant. But he meant something. And we're going to see in just a few moments that I'm going to tell you the story because for the sake of time, but what happens next is that the centurion turns around to Jesus and he just says, you are able to heal this servant. You're able to do it. I know that you're capable. I know that you're able. And he turns around him and he says, all you have to do is speak a word from a distance. The distance was against him. And sometimes this morning we think that, you know, if God's not really close to me, or if I'm not really in the presence of God, or if I'm not really close to Jesus, then things can't take place. Jesus could be a million miles away and his power is able to come through. Jesus could be in the next town, in the next city, and he's still able to send through and bring breakthrough wherever he is because he is that good. He is Jesus. He does not conform to this world. He is outside of it. He is outside of it this morning. And so the centurion turns around him and he says, Lord, I know what it's like to order servants. I know what it's like to be able to tell this one to go here and tell that one to come over here. So I know all you have to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. And there's this beautiful verse just before verse 9, and it says, wow. Jesus turns around and he goes, wow, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. He turns around to a centurion and says, wow, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turning to the crowd following him, he says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant was well. The servant was well. You know, Jesus was put, you would have think, in an awkward position, and yet it was not awkward at all because he knew he was well able. He knew his Father was able to do anything, and he knew the power of God and that the power of God could break through and bring a breakthrough even in those moments. And so this morning, you may not even know God, but God knows you. You may have a friend that doesn't even know God, who doesn't even like God, who may even be a totally atheist, but we can pray and believe for their miracle. We can pray and believe for their breakthrough. And out of that, who knows what could happen? Who knows who they could turn to after that? They may turn around and just say, wow, I want to worship the God that you prayed to because he has saved me. He has delivered me. You see, this morning, God's breakthrough is not limited to whether you know him or not, whether you love him or not. We didn't even recognize Jesus. We didn't even love him in those moments. And yet Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, we weren't even perfect. Can you believe that? We were not good. We didn't even recognize Jesus. And yet he died for us. He chose to come and bring a breakthrough in those moments. And so this morning, maybe you're here and you don't even know God. Maybe you feel that distance thing. Maybe you feel like you're far from God. And you think, why would God want to do anything good for me? I've not been good for him. God says, I'm so much better than that. I'm so much bigger than that. You know, no better case. We're going to think about Easter. We're thinking about Easter, hopefully, right now, and we're coming up to it next weekend. And it just says that Jesus is on the cross, and he turns to his Father. He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them? I mean, what a statement for Jesus to make to his Father. Forgive them, Father. He's being punished. He's going through the most excruciating agony that you could ever believe. And he's in those moments, he's still full of forgiveness. He's still full of grace. He's still full of mercy. And so this morning, what is the forgiveness that we need? What is the mercy that we need to receive? He is so rich in mercy. He is so full of love. And so maybe we're praying for a friend who doesn't even know Jesus. He is able to do that. He is able to come against that. And then the second story is in verse 9, and it's about a dead person. You know, Jesus is not restricted by death. He can raise anyone from the dead. It says in verse 12, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. Here we have Jesus. He comes in another situation that I do not want to be there because you're thinking, what are they going to ask me? Are they going to ask me to heal this person? I could never do that. I could never do that. And guys, this morning, you know what we need to realize and just take on board is that why are we stressing? Why are we panicking? You know, if someone turns around us and their faith is such that they say, wow, if you prayed to your God, we know that something would happen. We should take great delight and go, yes, I will pray. Absolutely, I will pray because it is absolutely nothing about me. He is so good that if I pray and believe, God is able to do something. And so I want us to take ourselves out of these situations and stop being limited or being held back by our experience or our qualifications or how we're feeling even or what we've just done. And know this, that Jesus is just looking for empty vessels. He's just looking for instruments that he could work through. He's just looking for people that would say, okay, I'll pray and I'll believe. I'll be humble enough to say Jesus could do this. I'll believe that in those moments I will put my faith, as small as it may be, as small as a mustard seed, and I will put it in a God who does not feel, and I will wait and see what he may do. That's what God is calling us to do. He's not wanting us to worry about the outcomes and worrying about the endings. He's just saying, put your trust in me and then leave it over to me. That's what faith is all about. Believing in a God that we cannot see, but we're totally convinced that he is for us. We're totally convinced that he's going to do it. We keep going back and using this building as a great example, but I was so excited and we were so excited that we'd find a building, we'd forgot to worry about the money. Do you know what I mean? We'd forgotten to worry about the money. We just says, wow, if we find this and we've waited for so long and God has hidden this from us and we could have walked past this day after day and some reason we didn't notice it. We drove past it for years most likely, but because it was behind the main street, we didn't see the sign. I don't know. All of those different things that you could think of. And yet, wouldn't it have been crazy that when we then saw it and then heard about the building, we turn around and go, oh, no, it's not possible. Oh, it never happened because of the money. You know what? We were so excited. We were so looking forward to it. We were so believing. We were so expectant that to worry about the money was the last thing on our minds. It was the absolute last thing. Because you know what the first thing on our minds was? Jesus is so amazing. God is so amazing. He has finally got us the place that we need. He has finally found what we had been searching for years. And was the money any issue? Absolutely not. He provided it. He absolutely provided it. So this morning I want to encourage you. What is the thing that we're yearning for? What is the thing that we're seeking? What is the thing that we're believing for? Get excited about a great God. Get full of anticipation and expectation because God is able. We've got a dead person. It's the middle of the funeral. They're in the coffin. What are we going to do? It's game over. There's no point praying. There's no point believing. But then in verse 14, it says this, then he came and he touched the open coffin. You know what I mean? Death is staring you right in the face. This is how bad it is. I mean, this is how drastic the situation is. The coffin is open. Jesus can see the dead person. Everybody else can see the dead person. I'm sure there's people thinking, wow, we finally got him this time. You know, this is the one where he cannot do it. The coffin is open. I don't know, did it smell? Did it look nice? What was it like? I'm sure it was not pretty because there's nothing but beats life. And yet Jesus said he just put his hand on the coffin and he prayed and believed. Then he came and he touched the open coffin and those who carried him stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. I said to you, arise. I mean, was there more words than that? I don't know, but I'm just going to trust that that's all that he said. I mean, does it not encourage us that we do not need to pray massive long prayers to encourage ourselves? Just believe in Jesus. I mean, you could just say, rise in Jesus' name and trust the Lord to do it. Or are we praying to try and encourage ourselves? And if that's the case, then that's fine. God is full of grace and he's full of encouragement. But all Jesus said this day was, young man, I said to you, arise. Young man, I said to you, arise. So he was dead, sat up, and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. I was reading this earlier, and I thought to myself, what a presentation. I mean, we all want to be presented with something. We all want to get trophies. We all want to get accolades. Here was a mother, and suddenly Jesus turns around. You had a problem? There's no problem. Here's your son. Here is your son. He was dead, now he is alive, and he began to speak. I mean, we would be trying to figure this out and thinking, will it take him a few moments to come round? Will he have loads of like cobwebs in his eyes, you know, loads of sleep in his eyes? Will it take him, will he need a shower? What will he need? I mean, it just says he was just arose. He just rose up and began to speak as if he wasn't dead. Our God is the God of the breakthrough. And so this morning, God is saying this. God is saying, I'm showing you different stories from my word. My word never changes. I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so if it was correct in here and correct up there, then it's still correct in here today. And God is saying, what are the things that we're facing? What are the drastic circumstances? Is there anything that we're facing worse than death? Wow, death must be one of the worst things that you can face. And I wonder if God would lift us and encourage our faith so much that they may come to a day where we turn around and we start to pray for open coffins. Could we believe for that? Could we get excited for that? Now, that seems like it's maybe afar off. But Jesus is saying, I am well able that no matter what the situation, what the challenge that you would face, if you would believe and pray, who would know? I remember years ago, my granddad, who me and him became very close over the last few years when he was alive. And we were in the hospital, and they do this thing where they're going to call you all down. And you just, that's it. It's the worst. It's over. And I don't know, for whatever reason, 18, 19, just decided to pray. Maybe it's a bit older, 20, 21, something like that. That makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Doesn't really matter what age. And so, for whatever reason, this quiet moment came. This quiet moment came where everybody's either leaving the room and they're all going to the family room to just fill each other in. Everybody's coming down. They're switching everything off. It's just over. It's over. And he's really old, and he lived a good long life, probably full of badness and hopefully some good things. But we get to the end, and there I am just sitting in the room. And for some reason, I just thought, you know what? I just want to pray and believe. I don't want to believe what everybody else is saying. I know that everybody else is Christians. I know that everybody else is saying the right things and doing the right things. But I just have something that's stirring in my heart that I don't want them to go yet. I do not want them to leave yet. I want them for a bit longer. And maybe it's selfish, but sometimes our prayers have to get like that. We just say, Lord, I need my son back. I'm not content for him to go to heaven yet. I need him back now. I need my daughter to come back. I need my aunt or my uncle, or I need this person to get saved. And we almost get angry about it, or we almost get forceful about it. We just say, Lord, I need something. I need this. And God says, whatever your needs are, he will meet. And so I began to pray. And I didn't pray in anger. I didn't pray in any of those different emotions, but I just prayed in faith and belief. I wonder what God could do if I just simply prayed. And in that moment, I remember just, now I don't know if this signified anything, but it definitely did to me. But I prayed and believed, and I opened my eyes, and in that moment, he opened his eye, and I thought, something's going to take place. Now, maybe the doctor would have said, that's normal, that happens all the time. But for whatever reason, I hadn't seen it, and that's all that I needed. And then I started to believe, and I started to pray. Do you know what? He ended up living for another year or so. He ended up living. He was too old. He should have died. There was no reason to live any longer. He'd had a good long life. He's in his 80s. Forget it. There's no point. And yet, someone just decided to pray, who had no clue, who had no ideas, but they put their trust in an amazing God. And so this morning, what do we need to pray for? What do we need to believe for? What do we just need to simply put a small bit of trust in? Put our trust in God and watch what he may do. Death is no limits at all to him. And then we come in verse 37, and it's all about sin. You know, there is something worse than death. It's sin. Because I would die happily and go to heaven as long as I know Jesus. But I don't want to die if I've got sin in my heart, because I know that that's not going to get me into heaven. I know that sin cannot stand before God. In fact, what I really need is Jesus in my life. I need him to save me. I need him to set me free. And so there is something worse than death. There is something worse than cancer. There is something worse than fatal diseases. It's sin. We need to get this addressed. And yet sin is no match for Jesus. It is no match for God, because he is the God of the breakthrough. It says in verse 37, a woman in the town who lived a sinful life. A lot of people reckon she was maybe a prostitute, but here's a woman. She lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them away with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. You know, here's the scene. Here's the picture. This woman comes. She's lived a sinful life, the Bible tells us. You know what I can grasp from this is that she knew that she was sinful. She knew. And the reason why I get this is because when she came into the presence of God, what did it do? It caused repentance on her heart. She started to cry. She just started to weep. And not just only weep, but it caused her to do actions. She took one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive thing that she had, the most precious thing that she had, and she wasted it all on Jesus. She poured it all out on him. I mean, did she deserve forgiveness? The Pharisees would have looked on. You know, the Pharisees are the guys that said, no, you got to have a rule for this and a rule for that. You got to be super religious. You got to read your Bible every day. If you don't, you're gonna be a really terrible person. They had rules for everything. They had rules for rules to keep you right. They had rules around those rules to keep you even more right. And here's this woman, and she comes to a house of judgment. She comes to a place of judgment because the Pharisees brought judgment. And yet she comes to Jesus, and he is the judge, and he brought no judgment. And she comes to him. And I don't know how she came, but I believe and can grasp from the passage that she probably came with trepidation. You know, she probably came trembling, wondering, will he receive me? Will he despise me? Will he turn me away? And so she does the only thing that she knows, and she wastes everything that she has on him. She pours it all out on him because her heart started to break. It says she cried and she started to wash his feet, and then she dries them with her tears. Something was breaking her. Something was touching her heart. And I believe this morning that when sin comes into the presence of God, it gets broken in Jesus' name. When sin comes into the presence of God, it has to flee because sin cannot stand before God. And so this is the reason when someone comes who has lived an incredibly terrible life, comes into God's presence, that they can receive forgiveness. Because in his presence, those sins have to go. In those presence, if they want to repent, if they want to ask for forgiveness, if they want to receive forgiveness, then his forgiveness is available. And here's the good news. It is available for you today. His forgiveness is available for you today. What sinful things have we done? His forgiveness is available. We are Christians. We shouldn't sin, but we just did, or we just have, or we've thought silly things. God, your forgiveness is available for me today. It's not about me. It's not about what I've done. It's all about what he has done on the cross and the reward that he has gained for us. And so the woman comes. What were the things against her? What's she going to change? People looked on and thought, is he going to change? Is she going to change? Is she worth forgiveness? Is she worth this? Is she worth that? Jesus, he didn't say a word. Maybe some people were looking at her and just thinking, is she just looking for a way out? She's just looking for a way out. It's almost like the debt, the impossible debt that she cannot pay. And she gives the most precious thing that she has and hopes it'll be enough. Jesus doesn't say a word. He just receives it. He just receives it. But this is, I'm sure, what some of the people were thinking. Other people judged her and had their minds made up. They questioned it. They says, no, she's not for real. She's not for real. And then Jesus decided to speak, and he said this. He says, what does it matter if you've sinned many times or just a few times? Sin is sin. You all need forgiveness. What does it matter if you've went out and done those crazy things or you've went and done other crazy things, but you feel that they're not as bad as those crazy things? What does it matter? If you need forgiveness, you need forgiveness. If you've got sin, you've got sin. I mean, who is worthy? Remember the other woman caught in the act of adultery? And he says, those without sin cast the first stone. No one could stone her. No one could, because all of them had their faults. All of them had their problems. All of them had the things in them that they shouldn't have them. But the outcome was this. Then Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. Jesus turns around to her and he says, your sins are forgiven. Could there be any more precious words than those? Than for a woman in that position? Could there be any more precious words than those for us this morning? Your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven. There is nothing quite like forgiveness. There is nothing like forgiveness. And Jesus is here this morning. He's saying this. This is a message to carry. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are set free. And those that the Son has set free are free indeed. And so you are free indeed this morning. This is what Jesus said, not what I say. This is what he says. And so you take it on board and you just say, Lord, okay, I'll receive that. Lord, it might not be easy to take on, but I'll take that on board. And then maybe we look from a distance and say, oh, I cannot believe. How can God forgive her? How can God forgive him? And then we need to take a good hard look at ourselves and say, wow, look what God forgive me with. See, Jesus is amazing. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've been, doesn't matter the things that we've said. If we will turn to him in repentance and we will truly mean it and say to him, Jesus, I am sorry, he offers wonderful, true forgiveness. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do you know, there's just nothing beats being forgiven and then told that you're at peace. There's nothing that like it when you are forgiven and the peace that brings. The torment and the torture that you had in your mind before of, will anybody accept me again? Will everybody continuously reject me? You know, Nikki was telling me this course that she's been doing this last few weeks, that the number one thing for everyone is just rejection. It's rejection. When it all boils down to it, it's always rejection. I wasn't accepted here. I was rejected there. I feel rejected in this way. I feel rejected in that way. Jesus is saying this morning, you are accepted as you come to me. I will accept you, I will receive you, and I will allow your sins to be forgiven. Jesus really is the answer no matter what. He really is. Guys, I want to finish off with one more quick point, and then we're going to be finished. You know, one of the things about God and breakthrough is that sometimes there's a time delay. Sometimes it takes longer than we anticipate. Sometimes it takes far longer than we hope for. And we think, God, why couldn't you show up quicker? Why couldn't we get a few more instant victories? Why couldn't we get a few more things to happen faster? Why am I going through this suffering? And I started to think about it. I started to pray about it. And this is what God put in my heart. In 2 Thessalonians 1:5, I didn't put it up for the sake of time, but it just mentions about the church and just saying how when we follow Christ, there'll be times of suffering. There won't always be times of amazing. There won't always be times of great joy. There'll be times of suffering. There'll be times of hardship. There'll be times when we'll bring a sacrifice of praise. There'll be times when it's difficult to read and difficult to pray. But we keep pressing on. We keep bringing through. But remember this. Breakthrough is needed because of battles. You know, whenever you're in a battle, you need something to break. You need a breakthrough to come. Otherwise, you'll be at loggerheads forever. If you're in a battle, a breakthrough will come. Sometimes the battle goes longer than you hope for. I mean, we only have to look back in history and think about the world wars. They went far longer than we ever anticipated. We never thought they'll take years. We never thought they'd take years and years and years and years and all the people that were lost in between. But a breakthrough eventually came, and a breakthrough will always come. But sometimes the battles take longer than we think. Jesus is in us. John 6:33. Derek, you want to pop this up? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You have peace in me, but in the world you will have tribulations. I want you to get the picture here for the second. Is that before we were just in the world, this is the world here, we're just in it. But now Jesus said that in me you will have peace. So now instead of us just being in the world, we're actually in Jesus first, and then he's in the world, and then we're in that because of him. And so now, even though we're in the world and we're having tribulations, there's a covering of peace that's in our lives. There's a covering of peace that's in our hearts. There's a covering of peace that's available for our minds. And so this morning, Jesus says this, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. The promise of victory. In us, there's the promise of victory. In every battle, there's a promise of victory because the promise lives in me. Christ, the hope of glory, lives in me. The promise of victory lives in me. The promise lives in us, and it cannot be removed. There's provision in the need. There's provision in the middle of the need. There's provision in the middle of us this morning, in the middle of our battles, in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the things that we're going through when we're waiting for the breakthrough. There is provision for that, and there's strength for the day. I think this is so important to note. And when you're in the middle and you're praying for a breakthrough, there's strength for today. God has given us the strength for today. And sometimes you're just living day by day. You're just living moment by moment. And God's saying there's still strength for you in those moments as you will believe and receive the breakthrough. As you're going through the tough battles, as you're going through the difficult times. And then, of course, there's healing, there's comfort, there's saving help. God is able to bring us through. Colossians 2:13 is the last couple of verses I'm going to read this morning. But I just want to encourage us with this. You were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You see, the cross defeated everything. The cross shamed all the ones that came against us. The cross still shames all the people that come against us. All those principalities, all those darknesses, they were nailed to the cross. And whenever you are nailed to that, you are disarmed, you're disabled, you cannot move, you cannot have the victory that you once had before because the cross has disabled you. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The cross did everything for us. Jesus paid the highest price. He won the greatest victory. And so this morning, the reason why we can stand, the reason that we can sing, the reason that we can pray and believe for breakthrough is for what Jesus has done on the cross. He nailed it all there. It has all been nailed there. And now this morning, we simply receive it. Could we stand this morning? We're just going to pray and we're going to finish out with a song. But let's just close our eyes just for a moment. And let's just ask the Lord, Lord, what are we seeking? What are the breakthroughs that we need in our lives? What are the things that we need to see something happen in? Lord, what are the family members? What are the friends or the co-workers? And we're believing for a breakthrough. Lord, you burst through. You cancel out, Lord. You disarm. You overthrow. Lord, you have overcome the world. And so this morning, we do not simply try to stir up a gift of faith in ourselves for us alone. But Lord, instead, we put our small bit of faith, if that's what we have, and we put it in Jesus, and we just say, Lord, you've already won, so how could I not believe for a breakthrough? Lord, you've already achieved every victory, so how could I not believe for a breakthrough in the circumstances that I face? Lord, distance doesn't disable you. Death doesn't disable you, and neither does sin disable you. You're able to break through in every single situation that we may or ever face. And so, Lord, what are the things that are trying to disarm us this morning? What are the things that are trying to have authority over us this morning? I want us to nail them to the cross. Realize, or maybe even see how they've already been nailed to the cross. And then believe and receive and claim the breakthrough that God has got for us. Lord Jesus, this morning, you see our hearts. You see the things that we're struggling with. You see the battles that we face. And in the battle, there are many times where we are wounded. In the battle, there are many times where we feel that we cannot go on. There are many times when we lose all kind of hope. But Jesus is saying this morning, just keep hoping, just keep hoping, just keep hoping and keep believing. There may even be moments this morning where we just feel totally dead in a sense. And we need God to come and even resurrect us this morning. We just feel dead in our faith. We feel dead in our emotions. We feel dead in the way that we feel. But God is saying this morning, I can resurrect that as well. I can bring breakthrough in that as well. And maybe we're here this morning and we just feel that there's sin in our hearts and there's sin in our lives, and we know that there's no place for that in us, but it's caused us to get trapped again. It's caused us to feel ensnared again, or we just feel the weight of that coming. Then, Lord, I believe this morning that you will come with greater power, with greater authority, and you will set us free again and remind us how free we are. So, Lord, as we sing, bring the victory, Lord. As we sing, bring the victory, Lord. As we worship, Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. As we sing, breathe new life in our lungs, Lord. Cause us to walk again, cause us to go forth again, and cause us to believe again. Lord, whatever level our faith is at, cause it to rise to somewhere so much greater, because God, you really can do anything. And so that's who we pray and believe in this morning. Thank you, Lord.